We continue our learning. We are in Kalim. Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. Kisui Kadesh Yayin V'Kadesh Shemen. Covers of jugs of oil, jugs of wine. And these are obviously, if you turn them over, they have a base kibble. But nonetheless, they're used as covers. We had that idea before. V'Kisui Chavios Niyaros. And covers of Chavios that are called Niyaros. Niyaros is the name of a place, according to one explanation at least. These are tall. They have a receptacle inside, and so they could be used if you turn them over as a container, but it's a cover. So in these cases, Tahorim, the halacha is that they're not susceptible to tuma because we typically use them as a cover. Some claim that the niyaros, and Rabbi Artur brings this niyaros, is not a place. It's not chavios niyaros, chavios from niyaros types of barrels, but rather some have the v'istigarse v'haniyaros. It's two separate things. This kisui chavios, covers of barrels, that's along with covers of kadayayin kadeshem and pitchers, jugs of wine and oil. And then there's niyaros. Niyaros is like paper, papyrus. Glomer haniyaros shemechasin bohem es piatzlochis. Pieces of paper that we use to cover a flask. So that's also what we're speaking about. In all of these cases, we say tahorim, even though they have a receptacle, because they're used as covers. V'imiskino l'tashmish. But if the person designated these covers to use for utility, for the purposes of a container, then tameim, then they're going to become tameim, because you plan at this point you designate them for the purposes of the base cable, so therefore the mekabel tumah. Now, you may remember the tfi, that cover that was used to cover the grapes. So there, we said the Bartanu made the point, you need a shinu, you need some type of physical change in order to remove that ability from being susceptible to tumah, so to act as a cover. That's true. If you have a kli that has a base kibble and you want it no longer to be mekabel tumah, you want it to be tahor, so then a shinu is necessary in order to remove its susceptibility to tumah. But in order for a kli to become susceptible to tuma, to become a kli that's mekabel tuma, then you don't need to make a shina im hiskino l'tashmish. That's the case of our Mishnah. You simply designated for that purpose to use it as these cover kalim, to use as a container to make the mekabel tuma. Then the Mishnah continues, kisui halafas. This is sometimes we call it an ilfas. This is a cover of a stew pot. Baritanura says, kemo ilfas, machavas gedola, large pan, shemivashlim ba basar v'yarak, a pot that we use to cook meat and vegetables. Va'osim lo kisui shel cheres. Remember, this is all earthenware, and we make a cover of earthenware. Kshu nakuv ein roi l'klum. If there's a hole in it, so it's obviously not fit for anything. V'afilu eino nakuv, even if it doesn't have a hole, but v'yesh lo chidud, but it has something sharp on the bottom. Eino yachol leishev al pi b'mdei chidud. You can turn it over and use it anyway as a kli because it has something sticking out, has a handle, and therefore it would never sit properly on the table, and everything would fall out. But if there's no hole, and has nothing sharp, then it's mekabel tumah, because it is fit to turn it over and sit it on the table. When a woman will place vegetables in there to strain them, in order to take out, to squeeze out the water from inside. So that's what the Mishnah is speaking about now. Kisui halafas, the cover that's curved of a pot, if it has a hole in it, which of course if you turned it over everything would drip out anyway, or it has a chidud, something sharp, a handle that's pointy, tahor. So it's not mekabel tuma, even if you turn it over to use it as a kli, wouldn't help you. You really couldn't use it. But if it's missing both, doesn't have a hole, and it doesn't have a handle that's pointy, so when you turn it over, it's going to be flat, and it can be a receptacle. So then, tami, it's mekabel tuma. Why? It's not even needs to be designated. This is the way it works. This kisui from the very beginning with. it's mekabel tuma, assuming it has no pointy handle and it has no hole, because that's what typically it says. And there's the bar tun resev. It says this is what the woman who's doing the cooking places vegetables in there. She removes the vegetables from the pot, puts them into this cover that you turned over, and lets the water drip off. So the vegetables are sitting there. And therefore, since that's used as a kli, of course, it's mekabel tuma, even though it's the cover, it serves as the cover of the pot. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok omer, m'nei shehofeches alav es harunki. Do you know why this cover is considered a kli and it's mekabel tuma? Because what does she do? Shehi hofeches, she turns it over and puts in the runki. These are the vegetables that had been cooked, and she puts them in for what purpose? It says about tanura. Hayurokosh la'achash and his bashlu dvukim zebazev and aso gufecha nikram runki. They're called runki after the vegetables are cooked and they're stuck together and become like one blob. They're called runki. V'hilamila yivanis. It's a Greek word, and she puts them in there in order to mash them up. So what is Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok telling us? Not really think anything different than the Tanna Kamma. They're not really arguing. Each one is telling you how, what the women would do where they lived when they turned over the stew pot cover. Some used it to strain. This way you have the vegetables and the water would go off. And some would, other women, Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok, where he lived, she'd put the stewed vegetables inside and mash them up, and they become stuck together. So each one, either way, it's mekabel tuma. Perek beis mishnah vav. Gistera, we mentioned gistera before. This is where we speak about an earthenware vessel that is broken and it can hold a certain amount. So then it's still mekabel tuma. Now, when people prepare earthenware vessels, so if you have broken pieces, they usually throw them away. So that's why, in the case of a gistera to be mekabel tuma, it needs to come from a kli that was already a kli, that already was mekabel tuma. When do we say that a kli, an earthenware vessel, kli cheres, is mekabel tuma? That's when we mentioned, that's when you fire it in the kiln. And now it's hardened, and now it's ready to be used as a kli. So what if you have a case where you have a kli cheres, and it broke, and now you have a gistera from it, while it was being fired in the kiln. So then, but one of the pieces is the gistera, which can be used. What's his status now? So says the mission of gistera, Shanim says about kivshon, you have a gistera found in the kivshon, in the furnace itself. Let's say that the clay cheres broke, and before there was gemar malacha, the manufacturing of it was completed, fired properly in the kiln, it was not hardened just yet. So then it has the status as Torah. It's not mekabel tuma, that gistera. But if that clay cheres broke after it already hardened in the kiln, so then it's not a kli is mekabel tuma. Certainly the gistera, and therefore the kli, the gistera is also mekabel tuma. Then the Mishnah speaks about titros. What's titros? So Bar Tanura says it's a kli shumenu kav milamata, as a hole above nikavim harbe dakim and milamata nikavim harbe dakim. So above there's a hole on top of the kli, and on the bottom it's like when you're watering plants. You have you have many perforations below, so it comes out like a shower. So and then he says ukshem malimoso mayim va'adam mesim etzbo benekev, when you fill it up with water and a person puts his finger in the neck of milmala above shalish lebo dehoru. Follow the physics, and nothing, if you close up the top, nothing comes out from the bottom. But when you take off your finger from the top hole, so then all the water comes out like a shower from the little perforations below. So what's the halacha regarding this titros, this kli? Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok Metayer, he says it's not mekabel tuma. Why? Because it has holes on the bottom, and therefore the water comes out. Since the water comes out, you can't say that it's not a clay kibble. It's not doesn't hold anything. And the Bar Tanura points out lefisha nakuv bekones mashke, because there's a hole. The perforations are enough of what we call kones mashke. This we'll see later in the Masechta as well. When it comes to clay cheres, or kelim in general, what's considered a hole that's nolam mekabel tumas? It may depend on what using the kli for. Using the kli for pomegranates, we'll see later on in the Masechta. So then, obviously, it's still mekabel tumas because the pomegranate, even with a little hole, because the pomegranates don't fall out. But the but we assume that when it comes to the kli cheres, it becomes Torah. It's no longer mekabel tumas. It's no longer, it doesn't have the status of a kli when it has a hole that develops in it that's large enough to let liquid coming from the outside. That's what we call konis mashke. If it, leaking out would come drop by drop very slowly. So that would mean if you have a kli, there's a little hole in the bottom, and it's good, you're not going to see water come dripping out very quickly. That certainly would be mekabel tumas. But here, when you press it down onto water, will water come through? That's called konis mashke. Will it enter? So that would make it susceptible to tumah. So that even if it's able to come through that crack. So and what would happen if there's water in there? It would come out drop by drop. So Rabbi Sadok says it's going to be Torah because those holes we assume are large enough of konis mashke that if you lower down that kli on water, the water would come through those little holes. But Rabbi Yossi Mitame, he says no, it is mekabel tumah, an issue kamotzi prutos, because it lets out liquid. A drop at a time. And therefore what? Well, he says, since this anyway says the Bar Tuna Rosh Shekachu Taderech Tashmisho, that's the way this kli is used. The Choshev Beis Kibul Hol V'Hamayim Omd Mele Dehan Achaz Ha'etzba. If you place your finger in the top, in the hole on the top of the kli, what we say, no water comes out. So therefore, that's considered a kli. It holds the water inside, and that's the way people normally use it. And then he adds, V'afilu B'lo Han Achaz Ha'etzba. And even if you don't put the finger on the top. It only comes out one drop after a while after the other one. Therefore, this is not considered that has a hole that's enough of konis mashke that water would come in. This is wouldn't allow konis mashke to come in. It's just that it drips very, very slowly through that. Even if you wouldn't put your finger in, you put your finger in, nothing comes out. So therefore, according to him, according to Rabbi Yossi, this is mekabel tumah because the water pretty much stays in, and therefore it has the status of a regular kli. One additional point, we may remember from Mishnah Dalid, we spoke about a different kli. The kli there was the Rochel's kli. The Rochel's kli, the Rochel was putting his finger where? Underneath it. And therefore, in the case of the Rochel, we said there, everyone agrees that it has the status of a kli and it's mekabel tumah. Why is it different over here? Because in that case, that was a funnel, and that's what the Rochel normally does. He always puts his finger underneath there in order to measure. So therefore, that kli is mekabel tumah. But our case, in the case of the titros, in our case, where the watering kli, so the person who's watering the plants, watering the crops, he doesn't block the holes on the bottom where the water is going to come out. He just puts his finger on the top so the water can't flow. So this, we don't assume, is enough to make a kli with holes on the bottom into a kli, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok.